We thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. 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 All right. I'm going to ask my wife to come on up. Maria just left, but I was just informed that she had a word to edify the body, but she shared it with Tiffany, and I want Tiffany to share it with the body.
From earlier today, she got the vision that someone was in a seat and that there was a seat belt on them. And that was representing they were being held back from God's fullness. And during worship, she got that the seat belt that was holding them down has been replaced with the word, the belt of truth. So I think that was directly for somebody here. Somebody was held in by something else, and now it's the belt of truth. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We just bless that freedom that is in you. Amen? All right, we're going to start a two-week series prior to entering the Easter season. And the Lord put this Exodus 33 and 34 on my heart. And the image I kept getting was simply Moses and how different he looked after facing God, after encountering the presence of God, the glory of God changing his life. And we're going to kind of go step by step with this. Today we're going to focus on chapter 33. Next week we'll focus on chapter 34. But you know, on the top of our bulletin, we have this statement that God told me to put, that we need to have a few months ago. His presence for his purpose. There really is no other reason or no other thing that can be more important. The presence of God is the most important thing in our lives. Because it's only in his presence that change happens. Said this before, nobody that ever encountered Jesus left the same way. Some left worse off because they've tasted and seen and rejected. But those that followed and stayed were made whole. Their lives were changed for the glory of the kingdom and were blessed. So looking at this story in Exodus 33, and we're going to read today from beginning verse 7 all the way down to 23, and then we'll kind of go back. So we'll just read it all through first time around. Beginning verse 7. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all of the people rose and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people." And he said, My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us, so we shall be separate. Your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you, Moses, cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you will see my back, but my face shall not be seen by you. So, some interesting things are going on here, and we're going to go through this story one little at a time. First thing, title is Changing in the Presence of God. Well, something has to change for change to occur, right? Can't be doing the same thing, and I've learned that the hard way, over and over again and expecting it to be different. That's the clinical definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting something to turn out different. But let's first thing about this is go where God is. Go where God is. Notice what Moses right away had to do. What did he do? He took his tent where he lived. He took his tent, left the group, left the camp. And verse 7 says, Moses took his tent, pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, getting away from any influence of the people. And called it the tabernacle of meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of meeting, which was outside the camp. So for something to change, I have to be willing to move. Moses knew something needed to be shaken in order to get closer to God, because where the people was, something was not fully right. He was not able to hear clearly from God. The people needed to be led. Yet, as we know, everyone has an opinion. Correct? Everyone thinks they know everything. You get 6 people, you'll get 10 different opinions. In order to change, in order to get to know the heart of God, he took his tent, moved it way out here. And what did he do? Because there was no church building, there was no temple, there was no synagogue. He said, you know what? This is going to be the tabernacle of God. Because this is where I'm going to meet God face to face. Church is not the walls. The church is the people. And a church is a church when the people come together to meet with God. That's the church. We don't go to church. We are the church. We go to the place that houses the church. Okay? So he called it a tabernacle. But this is important, guys. In order for things to happen, he needed to get away from the influence of the world. He needed to make some hardcore decisions. Who was over there? His friends were over there. His co-supposed leaders were over there. The different heads of the tribes of Israel were there. Friends were there. So many people were there. In order to get to closer to God, to get to the heart of God and His will and purpose, you have to get away from all that. But not just for a moment. I want you to see what he did. He took his house and literally, physically moved his dwelling place outside the camp to where God is. He didn't take weekend trips. Okay? He didn't go for an hour or two visit on a Sunday morning. His house became the place where he met God, which was away from the influence and effect of the people. Some of us have had to make some really, really hard choices. You know, we talk about it in terms of who's chasing after God, who's running after God. My wife and I both have made hard choices. Some friends we've had to let go of and quit fellowshipping with, per se. Instead, when we're with them, it's ministry. We put the armor on because it's ministry, because they're not running towards God. And we want to pour into them to get them running. Okay? We've had to let go of people in our lives who were not running with us or even willing to let us run. My wife will tell you stories. The more passionate she became for the Lord, even family. Like, what are you doing? My own sisters, you know, they'll say they love Jesus, but they don't fully get the chasing after. And sometimes you have to leave them behind. Family, friends, acquaintances, you have to be willing to cut off those ties or reshape those relationships in order to pick up and go where God is. He didn't say, God, here's my house. It's the middle of the town square here where we're camped. Can you just come over here and meet me here? And let's compromise. Mm-mm. It's seeing what God is blessing and lining yourself up with God, not doing what you want and then asking God to bless it. Moses said, you know what? I've got to get my tent away. I have to get away from this, and I have to go where the presence of God is. And what did God do? When he pitched his tent, every time he went in there, God showed up. God showed up because Moses went to where God was. God was not going to show up in the middle of town. When he shows up at his neighbor's house, or ex-neighbor's house, he showed up when he went into the tabernacle and he touched him and he filled him and he gave him something that Moses then brought back to the people. But you can't be where you are and expect change to happen. We've got to make a decision here. We have to be willing, Lord, I'll go where you are. Not let's compromise. Why don't you come to me and I'll give you half my heart. Make it a dwelling place. Move there. Reside there. In a way, you know, I've heard stories of people who felt so committed and called to the church they were attending. They weren't even pastors in the church. That they moved their physical home to be closer to those churches. Because that's where they felt God called them to be. And that's where they were encountering the presence of God. I'm not saying now we necessarily have to sell our house and buy one in Keyport. But what I'm saying is, we need to make these choices. Evaluate our lives. Are we encountering God where we are? Do we need to get away from some things, some people, some situations? Because God's not there. He's outside of town. And I need to go where he is. And not visit, but dwell with him there. That's the first point. Second thing, change is contagious. So it was, verse 8, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, and each man stood at his door and watched Moses until he had gone in. So people would watch him. They knew every time Moses was there that God would show up. So every time Moses started heading back out to the tabernacle, okay, let's get outside. It's like turning on the TV. Let's watch this. See what's going on. See what's happening. What's going to take place. See that cloud descending. People watch him. And then they followed Moses' lead. Now, they weren't ready to go all the way in, or else some may have. We know Joshua did. But they, we read later on, they worshiped in their tent. Verse 10. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and the people rose and worshiped, each man in his own tent door. Moses' heart of worship became a catalyst for change, became a catalyst for others to worship. Others will follow when something is real, when it's authentic. Because especially, we keep saying this, in this generation, there's a hunger for authenticity, authentic worship, true worship, true encounter. Not going through a bulletin order, not religious experiences, but there's a hunger for something tangible, something that you can feel, touch you, hear, know, understand. In when we worship, when we are in the presence of God, we are touched. We touch Him. Our worship touches Him. We know, we hear His voice. He speaks to us. We get His words of knowledge and words of wisdom. We get His prophetic. And this is what people are hungry for. Others will follow when it is real, when they see that our devotion to God is not limited to Sunday mornings, but to every day. That the same person I am here is the way I am at my job tomorrow morning. And my hunger and passion and love for Him does not change. Here's a bigger one. The same person that I am here is the same person you see on Facebook and on social media. Because let me tell you, it kind of blows my mind sometimes when I see somebody in church and worshiping or that kind of thing, and then I see a post of some of sort on Facebook and I go, what? Where's God in this? Where's that devotion? Where's that worship? You know God is real. You know God's touched you. Where is He? What testimony are you giving now? You're right now defiling the authenticity of who you say you are when you do something like that. They wanted more. Some went to where God is because people are hungry for the real. They left the place where they were to go where Moses is, where God was, to worship. It was the place of God's dwelling, and people worshiped the glory of God from where they were. Now, here's the thing. They did it from where they were, which is great. But we all know we need to move to go from baby food to solid food. We need to move to go deeper. I can't stand in the 1 foot edge of the pool and the 9 foot's down there and not move and think I'm going to go in the 9 foot to swim. Okay? At some point, I've got to start making my way towards the deeper end if I really want to swim, instead of just get up to my ankles. So I have to be willing to move, but it was a start. It was an example. It was a beginning. Because you can't expect a babe to be where someone who's been pressing in for a while is. So be grateful and thankful, and it's awesome that some did that. But at some point, as we read in the New Testament, you know, we've got to leave behind the elementary principles and go deeper. We have to leave the baby food for the solid food of the gospel, of the truth, of the power of God flowing in us. So they didn't move. They stayed the same. And those that stayed the same are still the same. There are many in our churches today who are still exactly who they were maybe 20 years ago, 30, 40 years ago. Not necessarily talking about this church, just general saying in churches. Because they have not moved. And if you try to move them, you can't get them off their pew. They've engraved their initials on that pew spot. because they don't want to move. And they reached a point and they're not able to cross that hump and wondering why. Because God touched them there once, but now God's calling them to get up front. Calling up to get out of town, to go to the tabernacle outside the camp and make a change. Get face to face with him. Third thing, God honors our desire for the more. Verse 9, and it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle, the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. God shows up. He's faithful. When we move, guess who's already moved even before we get there? Guess who's already plowed the ground, made it right for us when we get there? If God is prompting us to move and encouraging us to move, he's already got the place we're moving to ready for us. He's gone before us and paved the way. These are terms we use a lot of times. But they're true because he is faithful. So he honors our efforts. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. We know many times people call to different things when they step into faith, when they move. It's not necessarily going to be easy. And they might fail initially or make mistakes. But you know what? God honors them for willing to take a step of faith. Those who have been trying to grow in the things of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, who are taking a chance and sharing prophetic words, speaking in tongues, giving words of knowledge or words of wisdom. Not going to be perfect because a human filter is not perfect. And we are in an equipping church. We're a training ground. But you know what? God honors their effort and he will grow them. Most of us, when we started speaking in tongues, all we can utter is one or two words and we did that endlessly. But you know what? God honors it because all of a sudden you start getting more and more and more. And he blesses your praying in the Spirit because he honors your heart and your effort, your willingness to get out of yourself, out of that comfort zone, out of the norm, and go deeper. You ask, Lord, take me deeper. Take me further with you. If I'm really willing to do that, do what I'm asking, he's faithful to carry me through. He's faithful to meet me there too and have it all ready. Fourth thing, his presence impacts destiny. What do I mean by that? Well, look at Joshua. That little statement that we read about Joshua in there speaks volumes. He stayed in the presence of God. Look at verse 11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Joshua stayed in the presence of God. He didn't go back and forth. What do we know about Joshua's destiny? He was already lined up to take over for Moses. He was considered one of the true, authentic worshipers of God. Him and Caleb, when they sent the 12 spies, were the only two. Came back with truth, with integrity. Look at Joshua. He stayed in his presence. But here's the other thing. Even though God spoke to Moses, we just read, like a friend, Moses struggled with staying strong in his leadership role and trusting and hearing from God. Think about what we just read. How many times did Moses say things like, see, you say to me, bring up these people, verse 12, but you have not let me know who you will send me. What do you mean, who will I send you? There's Joshua. There's Joshua. He sent him Jethro, his father-in-law, to help him and advise him. He sent him people, but Moses struggled because he would waver. And we know that when you read the full Exodus encounter or the whole book of Exodus, you will see that Moses kind of swayed at times. He struggled with that. The burden of leadership, we know, can only be handled with God. Only with him. And then he said, you know, whom you let me know, you'll send me. And you have said, I know you by name, and you have found a place in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I found grace in your sight, show me your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people. You know, that I may know you. Think about those words. When the Bible talks about they knew him or knowing him, this knowing, this word, the word for knowing, is knew them intimately. We're very intimate together. Very, very close. Sometimes even so intimate, the symbolism of it is that of a sexual encounter. They knew each other intimately. Moses is saying, God, I want to know you intimately, but he's not staying with God to know him intimately the way Joshua did. Joshua stayed and he knew him intimately. So being in God's presence impacts our destiny because we intimately know the heart of God. And we are consistent in the things of God, not wavering back and forth. As I shared with you last week or so, Lord has really been working on me. Whenever I hear something from him the first time, even though it's a faint impression or a faint word, to trust that. Because as soon as I don't trust it right away and I move away from him and start thinking about it cognitively and processing it emotionally, all of a sudden it's becoming convoluted and I'm questioning it. And I'm telling you, almost every day I'm catching myself saying to my wife or somebody, I'm going to go back to what I first heard or thought or felt and just go with it. Because I was with God, and that's where I heard it. When I'm apart from God, I'm confused about it. It's not making sense to me. But when I was intimate with God, even though it was a slight impression or a slight word or a slight thing, I heard it. I saw it. I felt it. My spirit knew it. His presence affects those things. Staying in his presence affects those things. Joshua was always in the glory of God. He stayed in the glory of God. So he recognized and knew these things while Moses struggled with going back and forth at time, to the point where God had to reassure him constantly. So look at verse 16. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight? How do we know that? How will people know that? Like pillar or cloud falling on a tent isn't enough. And victory over after victory of a bunch of farmers versus trained military men. And the ground that they're taking and the fact that the word is spreading about their reputation all over the world. Be careful of these people with nations and cities surrendering before they even get there. But how will they know their favor's on us, God? I mean, think about that. But don't think too hard because that could be any one of us when we're not in the presence of God. Because that's where our insecurity comes about. Our unsureness works. Where our fears step in because we're looking at it from our own abilities. Who we are, not who he is. We're looking at things by looking in the mirror at ourselves, not into the eyes of God. Verse 17, so the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. It's like the third or fourth time. How many times does God need to assure him? Stay in his presence. It impacts our destiny, our walk towards our destiny. Fifth thing, there's peace in the presence of God. He says in verse 14, and he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. You know, when you know, and we talked a lot about operating in a place of rest, from a place of rest last week, and if you haven't heard that message, please listen to it. It's not up yet, but it will be within the next couple of days, so please check, listen to it on the website. God is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. My presence will go with you, and in my presence, I will give you rest. Why? Because when I can say, this is what I heard from God, therefore I'm just trusting in what I heard because I was with him, he was with me, and he revealed this to me. Right or wrong, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to trust him because I'm taking this step of faith. Therefore, see, a lack of peace comes from doubting and second-guessing yourself, right? So if I leave no room for doubt or second guess that this is what I heard from God and I'm taking a step of faith, and since God honors my heart to chase after him, I'm going to trust that no matter what happens, he's in it and he's going to take care of it. Even if I make a mistake, he will see me through it because my motivation, my effort, my heart is pure in doing what I can to do it his way, not my way. I just want to do it your way, God. And even when I don't necessarily do it perfectly, God will honor me as its son or a daughter for doing their best to honor their dad. Imagine, you know, when your child in third or fourth grade comes back with a drawing for you. And mommy, daddy, I made this for you. And it's nothing but scribble. What are you going to do? It's not perfect. Mommy, daddy, I drew a picture of you and it's scribble. You're going to say, wow, this is a perfect resemblance of us. Or are you going to honor them for their effort and say, I love you. Thank you for doing your best. Thank you for drawing this for me. So proud of you for trying. That's the way God looks at us when we move with him, when we trust in the things he's doing. We operate from that place of rest because if he's with us, there's rest, there's peace. And the last thing I want to touch on today is God honors our willingness to change. Say, okay, Lord, I'm in your presence. I hear you speaking. Now it's still my choice to say, here am I, send me like Isaiah did and go with what God is declaring and speaking, or deny him and walk away like the rich young ruler did. It's still my choice. But he honors when I say yes to him. He honors it when I say, Lord, I'll step into faith. I don't know what it looks like, what the outcome's going to be. But I'm going to trust you, Lord. And I'm going to step into faith. I don't feel like I'm equipped. I don't feel like I'm skilled. I don't feel like I have the ability to do this. I don't know why you even chose me or asking me to do this. I'm scared. I'm nervous. But you know what? I'm going to trust he who's greater in me is greater than he who's in the world. I'm just going to step into it and I'm going to trust it. And he's going to honor it. And he does two things. He guides and he protects. Verse 14 says, and he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then he said to them, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the earth. So he's saying, God, go with us. We only want to go where you're taking us. And as I said before, if God gives us something, speaks to something in our lives we're supposed to proceed in, God's in it and he's already there at it. So he's guiding us through it and he's already prepared the place for us to be there. Okay? I always love using this example because for a while, for the longest time, I've been praying. This was going back in 96, praying for a job, a real job. I was working midnights at a gas station, Exxon gas station, and then landscaping during the day. Okay, and sleeping before I go to landscaping and when I come home before I go to work midnight shift. For 6 months, I did this, sending out resumes, trying to find a job. Exhausted and frustrated. When I finally found the job I found, the reason God waited 6 months to give me this job was because the person who was coming in to run this company was just being hired and was God was establishing his leadership. And he was a Christian. And he became one of my closest friends and even a mentor at times. So when I came on board, he had been established at this point. So now the two of us together were able to impact where we worked for the kingdom of God. I would have gotten there early. It may not have been the same. He wasn't ready for me. The ground was not ready for me. God was preparing the ground he was guiding me to. So when I got there, it was ready for me. This is the faithfulness of our God. And the last thing is he protects. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. And then he talks about, you can't see my face because my glory is too great for you. And we're going to get into that a little bit more next week. But the fact is, God's going to have compassion on who he wants to, who is stepping up, stepping in, moving forward, pressing forward, willing to take a chance on God. You're not gambling. You're not taking a shot in the wind. You're deliberately moving in faith. You're making a conscientious choice to follow God, trusting that the outcome he's already established and he's already worked it through. It will not be easy. It does not guarantee ease, but it guarantees the blessing of being in his will and in his presence and moving into our destiny. But it comes from being in the presence of God. It comes from staying in this presence for that change to occur. For me to change, I have to be with the agent of change, his presence. And I have to surrender, going back to that word, lay down my life, lay me down, the songs that we sang today, at his altar, lay myself down and take him up in me and stay with him, keep him with me. Just like Moses moved his tent and his house became the church, the place he met God. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? Let's keep that temple filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Don't keep an empty temple. Because if it's empty, it's going to get all kinds of insects, dust, cobwebs, whatever. It's going to get crusty in there. Keep it filled with his presence in our lives. Then we will know and we will keep growing in his way. Would you stand up with me? Father, it's our desire to move forward with you. Holy Spirit, right now, we're asking you just prompt us with clarity of where we need to step into faith right now, where we need to go to be where you are, to make that choice, Lord. And as a church, we just come together as a body and we simply say we repent and we're sorry for not doing that as we should and the times we've made those choices. And we receive your grace and your love that restores us right now in your paths. Just take a few seconds and just surrender these things to him right now. Let the Holy Spirit bring revelation to this.